All right, Dusty.
Yeah.
Dusty, you've been here before.
It's been a couple of years.
It's been several years now, I think. You're still on the streets?
Unfortunately.
What's happened since the last time you were here? It's probably like 4 years ago, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's been exactly 4 years. Not a lot of progress, just a lot of deterioration. I got diagnosed with cancer 11 months ago.
What kind of cancer?
Prostate cancer. Both my grandfathers passed away from it. So I guess it skips a generation.
Are you getting treated for it?
It's not at a level where I have to have any sort of surgery or treatment yet.
Yeah. How old are you?
39.
39. It's prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And how has that changed your life?
Just kind of dealing with the symptoms that the oncologists and stuff, they don't tell you about. You just have something going on with you, and then you give them a call, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's this and that. And you're like, why wouldn't you just give me a pre-warning or something, you know, that was going to happen. So I've just been kind of figuring that stuff out for myself, and it's been exhausting, man. It's been on top of everything else. It just makes you feel kind of hopeless, you know?
You feel hopeless?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard getting a diagnosis like that.
It's not a death sentence. I mean, that stuff's curable, but just on top of everything else, it's just like, what's next, you know? Like how much more could there be, you know? Like, yeah, it's so in that way, it's like, yeah, it feels hopeless.
Where are you living now?
Kind of just tumbleweeding it right now. Me and my buddy's got a little camp out on the side of the freeway, but in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley.
You call it tumbleweeding?
I mean, wherever you go, there you are, you know? Yeah. It's the best way I could put it. Yeah.
You talk with your family at all, or?
Not anymore.
What happened to your left arm?
I got hit by a car and dragged 40 feet. My left foot got stuck underneath the tire and it dragged me, kind of like I was sliding into home base, you know? And this was underneath me, so they were going to cut it off, but they did a skin graft from underneath my armpit to right here. They're going to cut it off because my hand wouldn't work, but I'd sit there every day after I came out of the coma and just kind of work on my fingers and... got to do this to the doctor when they said it was surgery time, and so they had to think of a different route, and the skin graft was what they came up with. So and I got this little Frankenstein Hellboy thing going on. I can't extend it all the way, but
it works otherwise.
It does. I'm grateful for that. I don't know how I could be grateful for having a fucked up arm, but I am. Because I got an arm, you know.
Yeah. Do you look back at your childhood and can you make a connection to where you're at today and what happened to you when you were a young man?
I mean, the connection is like... a familiar feeling of just, you know, like pain and suffering. Yeah, that's the connection. It's just a familiar feeling, you know?
It's been a while, and I've done a lot of interviews since we did ours. Can you remind me what you went through as a kid?
Oh, gosh. I got mom and dad. I love my dad, my mom, I love her too. We're just not, we butt heads, we're exactly the same, so we never really got along, you know? Early childhood, my mom had a lot of mental health stuff going on, and it just really messed up our family life. And I would have other families taking care of me or other family members until they couldn't anymore. And then I was just kind of taking care of myself. Like I never really had much supervision. And if I did, I was never disciplined in any sort of way. So I kind of just ran amok in a sense, you know. Which it wasn't a good thing. Now that I have kids, like I see that that's not a good situation. Yeah, I didn't have much of a childhood.
In your life now, do you have friends, or do you have anything other than just the repeating cycle of chasing drugs every day?
I have people that I consider friends, you know, I have people that I consider family. But the last few years, it seems like the common denominator is drug use. So every one of my people that I associate in my life are doing drugs, and my life hasn't always been like that, but the last, you know, 4 years or so have been. Where every person I know is doing drugs or some way involved in that. And
Do you see a way out, or are your obstacles so big now that you don't feel like you just feel like escaping them?
there's definitely solutions, but a 24/7 is to get out of pain. I was a IV heroin user for, you know, over 2 decades, and still seemed to swear to have a job and some normalcy and, you know, family and friends and stuff like that. But now I don't have any of that. Don't know why that's different now.
And getting the cancer diagnosis, that just does that just make you want to get high and escape, or?
Yeah. Oh, well, really, it's now I'm trying to escape the pain I'm in every day from the accident, which is detrimental to daily life. I tried for about a month and a half to live without, you know, self-medicating, pain management, if you want to call it that. And every day or every other day, I'd be on my knees crying, like in pain. And that's not a life. And the only time I get to use drugs, I get to really breathe and just kind of live inside my own skin. But when I don't have that, it's the pain's there. When I've had to go without it, not by choice, like i.e. like being in jail, and the pain is it's like earth-shattering, you know. It's
What happened? Can you describe the accident?
yeah, I was up the street, actually. I was on Maple between 6th and 7th.
Right here.
Yeah, it was 2 days after my grandma's funeral, which is why I came back here to Los Angeles. And I just remember walking down the street. There was tents on the sidewalk, so I couldn't walk on the sidewalk. I walked along the cars that were parked, and I remember hearing tires screech. And I turned around and looked, and I remember all I had time to think was, "Oh, fuck." I remember saying that out loud. I remember saying, "Fuck." Because I had nowhere to go, and the car hit me, and I was stuck between the car that struck me and the car that was parked. And it spun me around, and my foot got stuck under the rear tire well, and it just slammed my body and then dragged me for about 40 or 50 feet.
Did the driver know that he had hit you?
I believe so, because when he did stop after I detached from the car, I was still in shock, but I jumped up and I ran to the front of his car. I remember to see if he had a license plate in the front of his car. And
He had no license plate in the back?
I hadn't seen the back of his car yet, but I remember running to the front of it, and he didn't have a license plate in the front, but my eyes rose and him and I locked eyes for a second, had a moment, and then he just stepped on the gas again and I had to jump out of his way of his car again. And he made the light and just took off. I wobbled over to the police station that was right down the street, which is an odd feeling because I know the police aren't there to help. And the garage was open. A pig was getting out of his cruiser. And I shouted to him, "Officer, I need an ambulance. I got hit by a car and I have a tire track across my t-shirt and my arm looks like I just got attacked by a bear. It's like hanging on by skin." And he looks over his shoulder and looks me up and down and like just disgust. And he turns around and keeps on walking. And he says, he doesn't say, he yells with his back turned to me, "Go online and fill out a complaint." And like, at that moment in time, like all the humanity like that I had left in me was just fucking gone. And I walked another couple blocks. Not that I remember it, and I fell into a coma. Someone found me, called the ambulance.
What is the biggest injury to your body? The arm or something in your legs?
Part of my spine being crushed. I don't know if you kind of can see me slouching, but my lower back, where my back shattered, it just kind of did this accordion thing. So, you know, my spine does this curve in the back, so it's almost like I'm always leaning forward, so I'm always trying to use all my might to sit up straight. And over the years, a lot of my muscles deteriorated, so I don't have any core strength. You know, I was an athlete before all this happened. I was a very physical person, and I'm not that person anymore. I'm not living in the same body, and it's been hard getting used to that.
Do you recall the look on the guy's, on the driver's face?
Yeah, he was very wide-eyed. He'd probably been partying all night, up all night. Probably scared. Yeah, I'll never forget his face. Or the officer's face either.
Can you describe the driver at all?
Yeah, he was a black male, probably anywhere from like, he's probably about 6 foot, maybe about like 180.
How do you know how tall he was?
I could tell because of how, where his head was in the car. It was like a Jeep, a Liberty. It's kind of like a Jeep Cherokee. My dad used to have one. My dad's 6'3", and so I just remember looking at him and seeing how tall his head was in the cabin. So I remember thinking that, you know, he had a shaved head all the way around and big wide eyes, big, like, just big eyes, big bulging eyes.
He has to live with that now.
If he does, or if he chooses to, yeah. I'm not going to assume that he thinks about it at all, or that he does. I can't say it's not karma either, because I've been behind that wheel in that same situation before.
And what did you do?
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
I did it on purpose. And it was 3 years before that. So yeah, I think, you know, some karmic stuff going on right there. I had gotten into this odd altercation with this guy down in Tijuana, and he pulled out a machete on me, and I was parked in a cul-de-sac, and when I left, he was standing in the street, and I remember just thinking, this guy's in my way, I'm going to run him over if he's not going to get out of the way. So I did. And I remember hearing about his like tribulations after that, and he was in a wheelchair for a while, and this and that. And I'm going through all that same stuff, and so
do you believe in karma?
I don't want to, but on the street every day, it's so apparent. It's delusional not to. I mean, every little thing, and it's just that now in my life, it happens very quickly. I mean, it won't even be a day or a small amount of time to whether I did something good or bad, it'll come back my way. I mean, out on the street, it's like a very, at this point in my life, it's a very, like, my moral compass is off, because I don't want to be a criminal anymore. I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to have to steal to get my next meal or my drugs and, to my own abide. These are the ways I get my money now, and it's confusing, because I'm doing stuff that I don't want to do anymore. That I did when I was a kid, it wasn't a problem. When I was a kid, it was funny. It was, you know, like a fuck you to the man and all that kind of stuff. And but then later on in life, I worked hard, you know, to get where I wanted to go. And I'm not applying myself in any matter of things that I'm good at or things that I love to do anymore, like my passions. I'm not doing any of that stuff anymore, and it's such a fucking waste. Just wasting time, man. I like creating stuff and doing things with my hands. I've fought so hard to keep both of these hands from different accidents I've been in over the years. Like I'm so lucky to have both of these hands, and to not use them is just a slap in the face to whatever created us, you know, or me. It's not very fulfilling.
What's your biggest regret, Dusty?
Probably just being a better son.
And do you have kids of your own?
Yeah, I do. I tried in the beginning until it was painful, and I messed up, and it wasn't a very forgiving situation. And after that, I was pretty much canceled. Yeah, I think about that every day.
Do you still have hope?
To some degree, but it's very waning at most points. I never dealt with the depression in my life or like suicidal thoughts or any of those kind of things in my whole entire life. I never thought like that. Those things never crossed my mind, and now I don't know what the world has left for me, or if I have anything to give. So, I really don't see much of a reason to be around much longer. If I'm gonna still be out here like this, there's not much reason for me to be around. Like, I'm just taking up space, you know?
Defe probably asked you this question last time, but I'll ask you again. What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned after all of this stuff you've been through?
I think a big part of life is getting comfortable in your own skin and learning and knowing yourself, knowing your truth, and, you know, being the bigger person isn't easy, but it's fucking necessary. I don't have anything to prove to anybody, so I find myself just turning the other cheek and usually karma figures things out and I don't have to put a finger in stuff, you know? But for the most part in life, I try to just stay in my own lane.
All right, Dusty, thank you so much for coming back in again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We'll hope your life takes a positive turn somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.